We have a quorum, Jennifer.
We are in.
Okay. Excellent. So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to CVAG's Energy and Environmental Resources Committee meeting for Thursday, June 9th, 2022. Just note for the public, we are under AB 361 and are doing this meeting virtually as allowable on AB 361. However, we do allow our public to be accessible to this meeting via written correspondence, phone calls, and or Zoom access. With that, we'll call the meeting to order and request roll call, please. And Jennifer.
Okay. Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians. Blythe.
Here.
Cathedral City.
Present.
Coachella. Coachella Valley Water District. Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Imperial Irrigation District.
Present.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Indio.
Present.
La Quinta.
Present.
Mission Springs Water District.
Here.
Palm Desert. Palm Springs.
Present.
Rancho Mirage.
Here.
And Riverside County District 4.
Here.
And Riverside County District 5.
Russ Martin in for Supervisor Hewitt.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Excellent. Okay, everyone. We'll move to public comments on agenda items. It's the opportunity to address the committee on anything that's related to business or information items. Do we have any requests to speak, Jennifer?
We have not received any written comments, and I don't see any hands.
Okay, we'll go ahead and monitor through the meeting. Great. Item 4 is committee member and director comments. Tom, would you like to go first in terms of potential revision to 5B?
Yeah, it's a very minor thing. On item 5B, which is adopting a resolution, there's no substantive change to that item. I did want to give the committee a heads up that our consultant, HF&H, contacted us late yesterday and expressed interest in continuing on with us on the program. So the staff report going to the executive committee will read slightly different, but the resolution before you and the executive committee will be exactly the same.
So we really won't have to amend our 5B if it's the resolution wording. Just know that we'll have some modifications to the staff report as it moves forward.
Correct.
Very good. Okay. Other comments? Oscar, I know that you often will provide an update on SCAG and your work there for us.
No, sorry. I unfortunately missed the last meeting.
Okay. No worries. Others? Seeing none, let's move over to our consent calendar, item 5, which is the meeting minutes and the resolution Tom just referred to for oil recycling. Any questions or comments on those? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move it. All right,
I saw a quick hand raise from Supervisor Perez in District 4 for a motion, and I'll take Charlie Townsend from Rancho Mirage as a second. All those in favor, please say aye. Wiggle your finger.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention, seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. All right, let's move on to our discussion action items. The first is item A is Inland Regional Energy Network Agreements, Governance and Programs. David, how you doing? You thought you'd come back and help us, huh?
Okay.
Look what you got yourself into.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Mayor Evans and committee members. I would like to update you on staff's work on the New England Regional Energy Network, or IREN, since my last presentation in February, and get your approval on several actions that will allow us to begin IREN operations in the coming months. Next slide, please. And first, IREN is a consortium of the three councils of government, or COGS, in Riverside and San Bernardino counties, being us, CVAG, the Western Riverside Council of Governments, or WRCOG, and San Bernardino Associated Governments, or SANBAG, and we're all under the auspices of the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, for these IREN activity. Next slide, please. And then very good news, as previously mentioned, IREN has a substantial budget totaling about $65 million through 2027, or about $11 million a year. And I'll speak about our three sector activities shortly. Now, this funding comes from the customers of the investor-owned utilities, such as SCE and SoCalGas in our area, through the on-bill public goods charge that's levied by the IOU. So we all pay for this money, and it's coming back to us. Next slide, please. So over the past few months, CVAG has worked very closely with our colleagues in Western Riverside and San Bernardino on IRAN's contractual and governance agreements, and I'll walk you through them in the next couple of images. First, you have the very many cities and tribal governments and our two counties who are both IRAN's customers and the agencies that are the members of our respective COGs. Next, you have the three COGs who exercise overall authority over IRAN. And after that, you have WRCOG, which has been designated in the Memorandum Agreement, or MOA, to represent the three COGs as the administrative lead COG for IRAN with responsibility for managing all invoicing, purchasing, and contracts. Now, WRCOG carries out that role in coordinates with SoCalGAS, which was designated by the CPUC to serve as IRAN's fiscal agent with authority to disperse that $65 million in public goods charges to IRAN in accordance with the CPUC rules. And that process is largely governed by the programs agreement with SoCalGAS. Then you have the IRAN Executive Committee with three votes for each of the three COGs. And the Governance and Operations Charter makes the IRAN Executive Committee responsible for IRAN's high-level decisions, such as budget, procurement, and strategy. And then you have the Charter, and that also establishes the processes and channels for effective and transparent communication decision by making the IRAN teams at each of the COGs. And then the programs agreement and the charter and the MOA are in your agenda package, and I will be recommending their approval at the end of my presentation. Of course, the most important part of IRAN is our programs. And as we are getting closer to launch, I would like to give you a preview of our upcoming sectors and programs. First, we have near and dear to my heart is codes and standards, which CVAG will lead. Our main objective is to increase compliance with the California Energy Code, and there's a new one starting January 1, 2023, through in-depth quarterly training programs for building departments and building industry workers and providing technical service to our member agencies. And one example is the program we had last month on the new solar app permitting application and the Energy Commission's CalApp funding for its implementation, which I'd mentioned at our April meeting, and that program was launched by the Energy Commission on June 1, and the program last month was attended by several staffs from your cities as well as Riverside County. We're planning a follow-up webinar on July 27th with more details on the CalApp grant funding and a demonstration of Solar App. Next is our public sector. And that will be providing technical assistance and energy efficiency upgrades for government agencies and tribes. And in this program, we will be able to provide some degree, a small amount of funding, but some funding for energy efficiency funding upgrades that will reduce energy consumption. And then we'll have more information online available through our business upgrade, building upgrade concierge program. And then finally, we have the workforce education and training, and that's both the existing workforce and partnerships with educational bodies to train the next generation of energy efficiency workers. And this program will include our new Rentern Fellowship program to embed college students and recent college grads directly at our member agencies to have them work on energy efficiency programs and gain on-the-ground training. Next slide, please. So we have a few next steps before we can begin those programs. First is approval of the agreements that are included in your staff report by each of the three COGs, starting with CVAG at this meeting and then the executive committee meeting on June 27th. Next up is WRCOG. Their administration and finance committee approved the agreements yesterday, and the WRCOG executive committee will consider them next month or at the latest by August. And then finally, you have the Sandbag Executive Committee, and they're scheduled to approve the agreements in September. Following these signatures, we will form the IRAN Executive Committee that I just mentioned. And on a parallel track, we will be engaging consultants to assist us in program implementation. And we expect to launch the RFPs next week with selection in August following evaluation of the responses. Next slide, please. So we have a two-part recommendation. First is to authorize the executive director to finalize and execute the programs and budgets agreement, the memorandum agreement, and the governance and operations charter for the Inland Regional Energy Network program, IREN program, and second, delegate the chair of the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, or when absent, the executive director or his designee as the CVAG voting representative on the IREN committee. And I just wanted to call to your attention, the underlined language is just a little clarification that in the absence of the committee chair, it would be the executive director or his designee would attend. That's slightly more precise than in the recommendation in your staff report. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, David. Questions for David? Obviously, pulling this many groups together is obviously a challenge. Russell, go ahead.
Well, I'm afraid to ask this. So two questions. What are the RFPs going to be issued for?
Those are for consultants for the three sectors. So for each of the three sectors, you'll have staff as well as consultants who will be helping us. So to give you an example for codes and standards, because I worked on that RFP over the past couple of weeks, we will be having training programs, quarterly training programs in each of the three regions, and the consultants will help us be putting those training programs together.
Okay, so it sounds like this train is well down the track, and I'm kind of feeling like I'm still standing at the station trying to figure out what is IREN. What's its purpose?
It's essentially to drive energy efficiency throughout our region and to do programs that the IOUs have not been able to reach. So one of the core...
What's an IOU?
Investor-owned utility. So that would be in our area, Edison and the gas company.
Is this something akin to making loans to people to install solar?
No, we won't be doing that. There's no specific programs for individuals. As I mentioned, the financing, the only financing program that will be available is for the public sector, and that includes your city hall, for example, and senior centers and libraries to help them get more energy efficient. So replacing some older equipment with newer energy efficient equipment to the extent that it will save money and energy, there could be some funding available for that. Not fully to cover all of the expenses, but there will be both technical assistance to evaluate this piece of equipment we should install that'll save us this much money and a little bit of funding and technical assistance to cover those costs.
Okay, so Edison installs swamp coolers for free, air conditioners for free, replaces pool pumps, provides free air conditioners, like I said, that new refrigerators, all sorts of energy upgrades, insulation and everything else in a pretty aggressive program. Does this duplicate that? And does it add anything to what does it do differently than what Edison is doing now?
Well, we won't be duplicating any of the Edison programs. There are some programs for businesses, but there's a lot, as you just mentioned, that are consumer focused, and IREN does not have a specific consumer focus. We'll be working directly with all of the cities, such as yourselves, for training building departments. And as I mentioned, working to see what energy efficiency upgrades that can be done. What we will be doing in particular is a lot of training that Edison, they do have a program called Energy Code ACE, but they've only been once out to the desert, and I got them here sort of kicking and screaming for a program that we did. So the point is to do programs that Edison, the gas company, have not been doing. They tend not to have gone sort of this far east.
Okay, my last question, does this have a monetary cost to CVAG and or cities?
No, that is the wonderful good news. The monetary cost is to you on your electric and gas bill. So this is fully funded through the public benefit charge that everyone is paying on their utility bill. So every month you have an additional, if you're in SoCalGas, everyone would be in SoCalGas territory, and the folks in the Edison territory would be paying that as well. No cost to CVAC, no cost to the cities.
Okay, I can probably go on a long time. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll save the rest of my questions if I get any more.
And before I go to Tom, just quickly, I want to note, Jennifer, for the record, that Gina is standing from Palm Desert, joined us about 12:06, so she's been tuned in. And I see a couple hands raised. Tom, did you want to do?
And maybe this will help with Committee Member Betts and maybe others. This item has come up at CVAG's E&E every once in a while, like every 6 months or 9 months. So if it feels like something has happened and we've missed it, it might just be because we haven't talked about it very often. And no, the horse hasn't left the gate. It's just starting to. And it won't leave the gate without your involvement. As we've talked about before, the Energy Environment Committee at CVAG will essentially be providing the policy and other guidance to our effort. And this is really great news for our region because we didn't have access to this money before. So this is extra money to do extra things that are good for the environment.
On the SoCal Edison side.
Edison and SoCal Gas.
Yeah, well, I mean, just not the East Valley.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is this also representative of the east end of the Coachella Valley?
It is for gas purposes, but not for electricity purposes.
Okay, thank you for that. That's good clarification.
Thank you. Donna, let's go ahead and start with you, and then we'll go to Nancy.
City of Indian Wells has already embarked on a pretty aggressive energy efficiency model. And my question is, when this funding is available, since we've sort of already started, will the city be able to apply for any kind of funding for what we're doing?
Probably not for anything that's already been done. There may be, because we haven't written the program agreement setting all the eligibility terms. I would hope that we would be like many of the grant programs, such as the CalApp. If you've already spent the money, you won't get a reimbursement. But for example, if you plan to do something and what you've planned to do is within the terms of the program agreement, we can help cover those costs. So let's say that you're looking into equipment and that would be eligible equipment, but you haven't bought and installed it. That could be potentially something that we could cover. And also some of the staff time, maybe consultant time to help you identify sort of the right energy efficiency upgrade. So that's sort of a quick answer pending the drafting the programs agreement.
And is where I think. All right. Yeah, we do have a couple phases that we're concerned that we might not be able to fund. So if we haven't started those, then we can reach out to you and we can see what we can do there.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go with Nancy and Cathedral City.
I'm a little bit more administrative. I noticed that the delegation is for the chair of E&E to be the voting party, and in her absence, a staff member. Why are we not using our vice chair if there was ever an absence? That's why we have a hierarchy.
There was discussion. We offered a number of options to all of you at a previous meeting on this. Staff doesn't have a position on it. I think the committee generally went in this direction. And my guess is whoever your chair might be may not want the assignment, and neither may your vice chair. But I'd like my recommendation was to have the elected official be the point person, and then we double back with the full E&E committee to determine how best to relay your wishes and desires.
Chair, what do you think?
I have no problem because I probably won't be chair by the time this thing starts. Who knows? I'm happy to serve. Be one less meeting. I guess I have a question because Oscar's our vice chair right now and likely moving up. Will there be any conflicts with him on the SCAG for representing this committee as well? Or just he'll be able to stack the deck some for us? Anybody?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I mean, certainly there's certainly nothing in that's written there. So what we did provide in the charter is that it's up to each COG to select its voting representatives.
Yeah, and maybe that's the most important thing, Committee Member Ross. This committee, again, is the one that is directing our activities. You could arrange for voting in any way you want.
Right. And I have no problem if, if the vice chair, if we want to go in that order, chair, vice chair, and then either exec or designee. I mean, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and for that matter, you could do both. You could have both members represent the committee and potentially split a CVAG vote at a committee meeting, but I doubt that would ever happen.
But I mean, I appreciate you're right. That's why we have vice chairs to serve as backup in the event the chair is not available. Is there a...
Thanks for listening.
I know that we're not deciding on that piece per se here, but we could as we move this forward, just look at the delegation factor of the positions. Other questions on any of the information presented by David? Yes, go ahead, Dennis.
David, I just got a question. You know, money comes in from SCE and money comes in from the gas company. When we look at the IID customers, they don't have any electrical benefit from this program, but they have gas benefits. Is that money delineated between two different funds so that we know how much to spend where? I'm just curious. Or is it the type? I'm sorry, let me finish. Sure. Is it the is it can only be used for gas? So I'm just curious how that works in the Valley.
That is covered in the programs agreement, which I heavily marked up, and hopefully we'll be able to work that out with the gas company. What they specifically say is that gas funds going to be only be used for gas programs and electric funds only for electric programs. But if you really look at it, a training is not a gas program and it is not an electric program. So what I've asked for the gas company, we'll be discussing this actually on a call tomorrow with WRCOG, is that those programs we can do, so we can go to the East Valley, for example, at some of the COD campuses, East Valley, and do training. What I think the restriction would be is that for city buildings, municipal buildings in IID territory, an energy efficiency upgrade that is purely based on something that's driven on electricity, such as for cooling, that probably won't be eligible. So we would not be able to come in to do an upgrade for an air conditioning in an IID territory, a city hall. If it's, for example, for heating, alternatively, if it's have replaced boilers with more efficient boilers, then I believe that should be covered because that would be a gas company program. So I think that's the distinction that we're likely to end up with. And I can assure you, Councilmember Woods, I've been channeling exactly that point into our discussion. So thank you. You hit a point that the WRCOG folks have heard from me quite frequently recently.
Well, and then I guess to go beyond that, that would be one thing, Dave, when we talk about equipment replacement or upgrades. But what if we find in a municipality that there is an opportunity to utilize natural gas as an alternative because of the challenges we're having with electricity and be able to find a mix? So we've got, you know, options is the and provided it's reasonable, there's funding there. Are those applicable use of those funds?
If it's an energy efficiency upgrade, in other words, it has to be more efficient
than whatever we have
currently have. Perfect. So, for example, for a boiler, for a gasoline, if you're heating in the winter months and you find something that's more efficient, that would be the type of equipment that could be covered. We're trying to drive energy efficiency upgrades. So, for example, putting in tankless water heaters or other more efficient gas units or boilers in place of what you might already have. That would be a gas program, and that should be eligible.
Great. All right, Russell, you have another question?
Yeah, thank you. So why isn't IID involved in this? Why isn't it, they don't have, I don't understand why they're not involved.
The reason, sir, is that it's based on, it's a CPUC program for the four actually investor-owned utilities, and IID is a publicly owned utility and is not subject to the requirement for the public goods charge. So they are, for that reason, IID isn't involved, although I do recall that they had a presentation, I believe it was one of the previous meetings, on their parallel programs.
Is this a case where the more drawn against the public goods charge, the more the public goods charge appears on people's electric bills? I mean, if the money isn't used, do they lower the electric rates? I'm just seeing a whole lot of money moving. It doesn't just, you know, come out of thin air. It comes from somebody. So we're finding out this funding is coming from the ratepayers. So if the money isn't consumed, my question is, you know, if we're using more of it, does that make the rate of charge go up on the electric bills?
It is set by the CPUC. What I will say, sir, is that there's what's called the affordability proceeding and a lot of discussions going on now at the legislature to reduce electricity and gas bills by having much more of what is called the public goods charge paid for out of the state's general fund. That hasn't happened, but that is one of the major sort of focuses of what we're calling the affordability proceeding at the CPUC, and obviously that would be a legislative decision. So thank for you. The moment, these are currently paid for out of ratepayer funds. That could change in the next few years.
Thank you.
JB, did you want to add anything to that discussion?
Yeah, just on the kind of the IID component. So IID also is required to charge the public benefits charge. I think this is back from the late 1990s. The state instituted this to try and encourage utilities across the state to invest at that time in more energy conservation. It also layered in some low-income ratepayer assistance. So in the IID program, it's split amongst some things like medical device assistance, low income assistance, and then also energy conservation. We just added a new one this year for trees. So there's going to be a nice equitable split for trees up in the Coachella Valley, trees in Imperial Valley. I think we're doing a split between Indio, Coachella, La Quinta later this year. That'll be the first time we're doing that. So in the interim, very interested in any suggestions on how we can modify the program or enhance services. And then also to our, as we'll get into the next item in our future long-term discussions, I think this sort of model that you're looking at here for the IREN, which is basically bringing some local decision-making away from the IOU down to the local level, I think we can similarly consider a similar arrangement in the IID equation for how Coachella Valley ratepayers might want to see their public benefits money spent. So open to that conversation.
Okay. And it's a clarification, Chair. This would be the time, if you did want to change who is designated to sit on the IREN Executive Committee, if you wanted to add a point about the Vice Chair filling in for the Chair, staff would certainly support that. And I do want to amplify, perhaps, or reinforce what Director Hamby indicated. This is about local control. And Mr. Betts, this money has been collected, may continue to be collected. And if we don't get it, it'll go to somewhere else, including LA. There has been a Southern California REN that's been funded by millions of dollars, and our little region has received very little of that. So let's get our fair share.
Okay, Dennis?
Will it be set up and all the mechanisms in it? Can cities start looking, cities and other entities, universities and whatnot, start looking for applying for part of the money?
The quick answer is we expect to have the consultants on board probably by the beginning of October. The signature of the programs agreement is a gatekeeper there, just because that dictates when SoCalGas can release sort of the big pools of money. One of the first tasks of the consultants is to start working on the programs and the program manuals so we can launch the programs hopefully by the end of this year. Now, some of the programs we're already looking at, Councilmember Woods, there's a program that I'm doing already for Palm Springs that you'll be seeing. We are doing some work already at the staff level.
Thank you.
And now that this is getting going, to my point earlier, you've had this item on your agenda periodically, meaning every 6 months. I'd expect this will be a regular agenda item going forward.
It would need to be. And if there's an opportunity that collaboratively the cities, there's something on the west side that it is a group effort, we tend to do better sometimes when we pull together on a project that might be able to positively impact multiple jurisdictions and then ask for a bigger chunk. Okay, we do have an action item on this, and based on the discussion earlier, if we would like to move these items and include the concept of chair, vice chair, then executive and designee, I will entertain that as well and see what the group thinks.
I can move forward with that option, with that motion.
I'll second that.
So would we consider, Nancy, your motion will be for the entire component, then adding that piece?
That's correct. To change from a CVAG staff member to our vice chair, whoever she or he may be.
Okay. Just to clarify then, what you could also just augment chair and then vice chair, and if neither are available or so want to delegate, to a CVAG staff person so that we have some backup. I don't know how often these meetings will occur, and I don't know the tolerance for our chair and vice chair for some of the minutia that's involved. So I would recommend that we go through that chain of representation.
We did have a discussion about this, and the reason this recommendation is here is because we had a discussion and this is what we told staff we wanted. So if we're going to change it, that's fine. But we did tell them, I vividly recall, maybe am I imagining it, Tom, or did
no? That's we reflected the previous discussion.
Okay.
And certainly staff supports anything that committee wants to do on this, but I would recommend that you go chair, vice chair, and if neither of them are available or don't want to represent the committee, that you send staff.
Okay.
And please, in no way should anybody consider this as me being disrespectful to CVAG employees or throwing some shade at you or anything. I just think we have a hierarchy in our committee. We should follow it. That's how we train vice chairs. That's how they become great chairs, is by taking that further responsibility.
Yeah, and I know we might be laboring this. I think the question was more like political representation. The WRCOG was asking for three of you to sit on a IRN executive committee. Then the question becomes, which three? And with millions of dollars at stake.
We wanted to stay.
Did you want to have three people representing three cities that may get, may be perceived to have more influence over funding? Or do you want the chair or staff? And I think that was part of the dynamic.
Yes.
No, we didn't necessarily agree with you. Very competent staff probably know a lot more about this than we do anyway. However, if we're up against other electives and those other cogs, we definitely want to make sure that we are represented as a Coachella Valley. So, all right, so I'm going to take a stab at this for whoever's taking minutes and say that Nancy has made a motion for item 6A with the amendment to include representation of chair, vice chair, and then staff. And we have a second from Donna Griffith and Indian Wells on that same note. Any other discussion on this? All right, no further discussion. All those in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed or abstaining? Seeing none.
Abstain.
Okay, Desert Hot Springs abstains. The motion still passes. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. And 6B, this is good. I know that Emmanuel Martinez, our liaison from CVAG and IID CVEC, did a brief presentation last month, but this is our update on presentation of the energy infrastructure financing option. And we have invited Brian Montgomery, the city manager of Indio, who has been leading this charge with our city manager, John McMillan and La Quinta, to look at ways to get what we need for reliability and growth in the East Valley represented by IID. Brian, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank Tom and Emmanuel for inviting me. I know you had some summary of this, and many of you on this Zoom call have already seen this a few times. So I'll be very quick, but certainly available for any questions that might come up. Next slide, please. Really what the discussion is how do we address a pretty significant issue within the Coachella Valley that the electrical infrastructure is in need of some upgrade. It's a critical factor not only for a new growth, a new opportunity, but for the reliability, redundancy of our overall system. I've been the city manager here in Indio for just over a year, and as I arrived a year ago, this became such a loud and important issue that had to be addressed. And so as the mayor indicated, we started talking with, I started speaking with my colleagues and the excellent staff at IID about what needs to be done. And I do see Director Hanby on this call. He then shortly thereafter, as I was starting to dig into the issue, helped lead the charge to form the Coachella Valley Energy Commission, which has then given a platform for not only this matter, but others, and for the Coachella Valley to have some more voice and input on what's going on with the IID operations here. But this challenge I need to be addressed. Next slide, please. As stated, we have an issue related to the safety, and as we warm up here in the next couple of days and throughout the summer, it becomes even more critical and obvious. Certainly, the system needs to continue to have upgrades, and the reliability and redundancy are critical factors, but also the economic viability and growth of the community is a factor relating to this infrastructure. We've been blessed here, those of us that are within the IED territory of the Valley, with very, very low rates. Depending on what your usage is, it's over 60% below Southern California Edison. So I apologize for all of you SCE customers on the call, but you pay much, much more than we do, and we benefited from that. However, we always get what we pay for in life. And so there just has not been enough resource to bear to address these safety, reliability, and economic growth issues with regard to the infrastructure. So the solution, next slide, please. Well, this is just one example, and their staff was kind enough to prepare this for the city of La Quinta, Indio, as well as Coachella and the unincorporated area. But what you see, and a somewhat complicated mess, are substations. Green are those that are currently, actually no, the red are the currently substations. Green is what's needed. And you see the impact of each one of these substations on what might take place within that radius. I only show that to show in those blue circles the huge demand that just the city of Indio had, but it's likewise in La Quinta and the other areas in the valley that are part of IED. Next slide. So then jump, well, just another graphic to show. This is a couple years old, but it continues. You see in the circle yellow there the different rate structures, how low the rates are. And again, what a great blessing it has been. But at some point, greater investment is needed to address issues at hand. Next slide. So the proposed solution really addresses or utilizes an existing program within the IED structure. It's called the customer service program. So when there is a need for expansion or greater infrastructure improvement, IED has a program where folks can step forward. Usually they're developers, but it can be other individuals. And they work out an agreement. The funding comes to bear primarily by the applicant working with IED to address these infrastructure issues. So we need to find some resources. We have the need and we have a program in place. So that's part of the beauty of this is nothing new needs to be created. So essentially it would work by these entities coming together, whoever within this service territory would like to join a finance authority. This is not uncommon with cities or counties where we create a finance authority to help address the financing of infrastructure. This would be a Coachella Valley-wide entity that would work with IID to collect a local investment charge. This would be an additional payment on top of the base charge that currently charged by IID. Now, we've done some research to what that charge may need to be able to leverage the financing that we're looking for the infrastructure. This could range anywhere from 1% to 5%. It could be less. It could be more. We're not contemplating any type of huge increase that would impact the ratepayers. I say that because in a previous presentation, as I discussed how far or how much lower IID is than SCE, there is absolutely no intent through this program to try to reach or become near the rate structure the SCE utilizes. Anyway, the funds created from this surcharge would then be leveraging bonds. Each community would still have a developer impact fee that to make sure that developers are still paying their proportionate share, but the infrastructure would be in place. You've been discussing to some degree the investor-owned utilities like SCE and others across the state. All of this infrastructure we're talking about in an IOU is already covered by the ratepayers. What these utilities do is they make a case. They call it a rate case. They will go to the CPUC, the Utilities Commission, and say, we need this infrastructure, And here is the rate that we will need to charge to cover the cost of this infrastructure. That's exactly what's being done here. The difference is if you develop in the SCE or an investor-owned utility area, the developer likely is not participating in any cost of the substation. They're just paying a rate, much like everybody else. Here, we're actually proposing that there be a slight investment charge, but also the developers step forward and pay a proportionate share of the cost of this new infrastructure, particularly where it may benefit them. This infrastructure benefits both existing residents and new. So you see a little bit of a flow chart here, but the first step is creating this authority, which would involve whichever, all the communities that would be interested. Right now, we feel fairly confident. We know that Indio is interested. We know La Quinta is. There's certainly a possibility for the unincorporated county areas or in total, perhaps the city of Coachella. Whoever they are would form this JPA with IID to enact this local investment surcharge. These fees would then be paid to IID. They would be used to issue bonds. Bond proceeds would come back to the authority. Proceeds would go to IID because IID would be the ones spending and contracting for the needed infrastructure. But IID would also be, under agreement, the one that remits the payments to the bonds. And again, those revenue sources come from this slight surcharge as well as the developer impact fees. So then a contractor is hired, and then we get the infrastructure that we need. So it really is not that complex. It's very similar to what cities do with their utilities, as well as perhaps any other bonding capacity. But what we need is some additional revenues to be able to leverage the bonding. So just to conclude the summary here, it makes sense because it's an existing program within IED. We can move forward these critical projects now, and much like in the investor-owned utility areas, when a developer comes to the city and says, we want to do something, I was just talking to my colleague in La Quinta about their housing project. I believe it's 60 units, Mayor, but there is there's no power for that development. So in this scenario, we would be able to have that in place, and we would be able to say, yes, developer, we have capacity for you. There is a charge to buy into that capacity, but instead of a wait of 2, 3, 4 years or requiring the developer to build the whole substation, when that developer only may need a fraction thereof, we'll have this all set up. So again, there's some flexibility. We know that some communities might decide later, maybe they want to see how this works, and it's a trial by concept, you know, the concept go forward and see how it works, and then maybe the county folks can jump in or other cities that may be interested. And again, there's no voter legislation. This is a bonding process and the formation of the finance authority that's been done time and time again by cities and counties throughout the state. So with that, we are coordinating. The city of Indio has already entered into agreement with consultants working on the project. I know La Quinta is close to doing that. We had a very important meeting with CBWD last week to help keep them up to speed on what's going on, and they've committed to assist us in that coordination. And as I've stated, we've had several meetings with the CVEC and with IED, including the IED board, and IED is more than anxious to utilize their existing program to help address this matter. There is some issue relating to the supply chain of the key lead time equipment. We hope that can be ordered soon while we work through these agreements. And these documents should be coming forward in the next, I'd say, 45 days that would allow any entity to join and start moving ahead on this process and deciding what level of surcharge makes sense for their community. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. I see Gina's hand up from Palm Desert. Go ahead, Gina.
Yes. Thank you, Linda. Brian, so I'm trying to get my head around the financing of all this. In Indio and even La Quinta, there's so much new construction of homes going on right now as we speak, hundreds and hundreds of homes. And according, if I understand your PowerPoint, they're already paying in a little bit. The developer's paying in a little. It's just not enough to cover the energy needs of all those homes. And if that's correct, can you retroactively renegotiate? Because what, you know, with interest rates rising, we don't know if there's going to be new future developments. I mean, we hope there will be, but, you know, depending on what happens with inflation and the economy, what if there isn't future development unless you can retroactively negotiate?
Yeah, thank you. It's a good question because it's important to emphasize that this infrastructure is for existing residents, those of us that may have been here a year or 50 years. The facilities are in need of upgrade. We need some redundancy. We need reliability. But the system in place now, it's a little complicated, but there is no impact fee for an individual home currently. What happens is if somebody wanted to build a 15-unit subdivision or a 150-unit subdivision, an analysis is made with IID. Is there capacity for this 115 homes? If not, the capacity has to be built, which could take 2 years or more. Again, referring to this example in La Quinta, where there's a 60-unit housing project, everything's stalled unless they're willing to build a brand new substation. But why I state that is because in the past, if there could be a large development, such as a courthouse or a jail in downtown Indio, the county was the developer of, the county didn't pay any impact fee. Because there was capacity at the time. But now there's no more capacity because it was taken up. So now we need to go buy that capacity. I'm not sure I'm answering your question specifically, but even without new growth, this infrastructure needs to take place.
Right. Well, I just see new home construction going on all over, which they're going to be taking capacity, correct?
Yes.
So how is that being mitigated with all the new homes? They must have been given the answer that there was capacity. So you're in certain areas, there's capacity. In other areas, in Indio and La Quinta, there is not.
That's correct.
Okay.
There's still developer impact fees that go along with it. But for example, you know, this particular project he's referencing is right at Washington and 50th, and it's backs up the fairways. And the reality is they have a substation there. They need 5 megawatts out of it, but they need to build a 20-megawatt substation. Mm-hmm. And the reality is they're functioning close to 100% capacity on that substation when typically IID's normal use is an 80%. So there's that buffer for demand and reliability. So in some areas, they don't even have, he wouldn't have the 5. Normally, if he was in another area where that 20 meg substation had capacity for 5, they'd only be paying for a portion of that. Now would be imposing, or IID would be imposing him, the developer, paying the entire 20 when they only need 5. And so the next person that comes along doesn't pay as much, except for some fees, because the capacity is there. So, it's jockeying of timing and who gets there first versus the next guy that comes. And then the other discussion is the ownership of the assets once that substation or transmission that gets installed. It goes back to IID for ownership and maintenance. So, you know, there's some discussion on what we'd be doing, how do we segregate it, how we ensure the use of funds, and how that overlay works. And then really, you know, the challenges is we've got not just the growth potential, but I know Indio has some projects that are specifically growth oriented, as does La Quinta. Some of it's really just the overlap needed to ensure that, I mean, we had our growth and economic subcommittee meeting yesterday, and we're getting reported that there were 2 separate outages yesterday, one in La Quinta and one in Coachella. I mean, it wasn't very long, but nonetheless, I mean, this is happening all the time, and the more you can have some overlap or redundancy to ensure that that's minimal is beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The other discussion that we had, and included the tribes and the county, was, you know, the ongoing discussion of what if Coachella Valley IID customers over in its entirety wanted to pay a little bit of a higher rate, not an SEC rate per se, a higher rate, and those funds specifically are for our area, because one of the challenges is that IID's rate system is you can't raise one without the other. But if we looked at IID board approval to carve that out, this would be aside from or in addition to potentially this program that Brian's introduced that IID currently has. So there's some discussion there. I know that county and city of Coachella, not completely on board, but following the information as we go along, and there's definitely some nuances to work out because we don't want to have to cough up the dollars and not get the reward we need or the ownership or the directedness to Coachella Valley versus the IID board. And again, this still doesn't speak to the governance question. I mean, it's interesting as we go through this and we're still trying to find solutions to our challenges in Coachella Valley. We've got a very contentious election going on with IID board members. And looking at kind of the stats a couple of days ago, you know, there's just a few hundred, maybe 600 or 700. There's very few people voting in IID for their own IID board members. And they are deciding the lot of our future in terms of energy that frightens the hell out of me, quite honestly. So with that, Supervisor Perez, take over, please. This discussion.
Well, Linda, Madam Chair, your points are well taken. And let me just first say thank you to the city manager, Brian, out of City of Indio, for working on this, right? And as well, J.B. Hamby, for trying to figure out a solution, right? But I will say that I'm not totally convinced yet, and I'm going to abstain today.
There's no vote today. This is information.
Oh, okay. I just want to know, I just want you all to know for the record that I still have some concerns, some questions, and I just want to make sure that ultimately we figure out what is the best course of action. Knowing that we don't have any voting power. And that does concern me still. Why not create our own?
And that's not off the table by any means. We're looking at short term, long term.
Yeah, and I get that. And so, and I appreciate where we're going because we're at least moving in a direction where there is maybe a short term solution. But I'll be honest with everybody here. I need to still wrap my head around all this. County's not convinced yet. I'm talking to my county staff. And we will be sitting down very soon with many of you, as well as with IID Director J.B. Hamby. And I respect you so much, J.B., because you've done so much more, in my opinion, than most that I've known, at least in the Coachella Valley, and willing to take the hits and come out here and deal with the issues and concerns. And I know you're taking them over there, too.
Big time.
I know that people are not happy with you out there as well because they think that maybe you're catering too much to the Coachella Valley. So at the end of the day, I'm looking forward to a longer conversation outside of this as to potentially what can happen. I want to bring in developers. You know, I want to bring in folks like the Berger Foundation, where we know that's where the next big development is going to take place. All of you that are interested to figure out potentially, is there an opportunity for us to create our own utility? And how do we make that work? Maybe that's more of a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the meanwhile, thank you for the discussion. Brian, kudos to you for coming up with a solution, if you will. But for the meanwhile, I'm going to just tinker in little by little. I'll leave it at that, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Emmanuel, anything you want to add to the discussion as our liaison? And then I'll call on Director Hamby.
I just add that, you know, there's been considerable discussion on this. I'm sure there's going to be more at today's Coachella Valley Energy Commission meeting. And despite the direction the body decides to go in, I think as we progress, we should at the same time be thinking about what our public outreach and communications and education strategy should be, should actions begin to be taken on this issue. That way we have accurate information that can be shared with the public as it is more frequently being added to public agenda. So that's what I will add.
Manage the messaging, absolutely, in the education process. Agreed. JV?
Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate Supervisor Perez's comments very much, and I think they certainly are very accurate. And I think the critical thing here is we've got something that's been in place for over 8 decades at this point. And so we have some interesting problems, not in that they're unsolvable, but problems in that they're able to be worked out. And I think the most important thing that we've established over the last 10 months, it hasn't even been a year at this point since we started down this path, is most importantly the working relationships. And I think our IID staff relations with the city managers has been invaluable in coming up with a really strong solution for an immediate issue that I think helps us lead and bridge into the longer term solutions. And I know that Juan Perez at the County of Riverside is starting to, or will be starting to participate in those conversations with the city managers too, and ensure that we're all on the same page. And I think it's important that we start envisioning somewhat of a regional approach in the Coachella Valley. I think that's to the benefit of the Coachella Valley, benefit of IID, Imperial Valley on the other side. But ultimately, I think the right approach here is to, the best way to eat the elephant is one bite at a time. And I think we're taking some pretty big bites here with this approach on the financing. I think that helps to resolve, at least in the short term, any of the growth issues that have been long a motivating factor over the past number of years. And I think we're starting to learn how to operate and work with each other and coming up with new structures on the governance side that are going to lend well into the long term. So I think the biggest benefit here is we're starting to move quickly down some paths that are only going to continue to hasten and start. The more we, every month that goes by, we start learning more and new opportunities start to emerge. So I think certainly everything is on the table. And I think at least the majority of our board has been under that position, and we'll certainly have a different look on our board at the end of the year. But I think we're heading in the right direction. I think things are on track to go the right way for everyone involved.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Yeah, you know, just I guess this kind of, you know, as I say to my attorney, I can fit this into the topic of discussion so that we're not veering from the beaten path per se. But when we look at reliability, we look at power outages. One thing that obviously everybody's seen in the news is the problem that Mylar balloons cause to our electrical system. I mean, former council member Terry Henderson, she, you know, lost a tree and some shrubs, and Mylar balloon on the power lines right above her house came tumbling down into the front yard at about 4 o'clock in the morning several months ago, and it was immediate impact of a balloon that had just been floating through. And I know that Imperial County overall, I believe Riverside County Board of Supervisors, there is a draft resolution to taking a page out of the Gene and the Standy Leaf Blower handbook. There is a draft to restrict the sale and use of Mylar balloons. And I'm wondering if this committee would entertain looking at that and either adopting it as a E&E committee and or taking it or considering it in your respective jurisdictions.
I'd certainly be in support of that. We had, as I had shared with you formerly, Mayor Evans, we had drafted up a sample ordinance. We're open to, you know, I think it would be a good idea to get one of our next meetings here as a committee to kind of go over that or maybe take some edits at it if necessary beforehand. But the Mylar balloon issue, they're accountable for maybe about 10% of the outages. So all to do with Mother's Day and graduations might count, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like cutting in and out.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, if I may, as just from staff perspective on this particular issue, it is before the Public Safety Committee on Monday. It has come up, so we as staff are thinking of double referring this issue to them, as it did come up in their last meeting specifically, and now it's coming up here. So we will make sure that the committee is apprised on the discussion that takes place in Public Safety and bring it back to this committee as well.
Great.
And IID will be presenting on that.
Very good. Okay, any other discussion on this? Again, thanks, Brian and team for the presentation and the information and the work thus far. We'll move on to our items 7, which is really information only, and the update on the PACE program. I don't believe we had a presentation planned for that, but let's move to public comment on non-agenda items. I don't see any hands raised there, but Jennifer, have we seen anything come in during our discussion?
No, I've not received any comments, and you are correct. No hands are raised.
Great, thank you. Announcements for upcoming meetings. We had a discussion at CBCC that the next meeting, which is scheduled as well for E&E on September 8th, conflicts with the Cal Cities Conference in Long Beach, and many of us will be attending that. So CVAC staff will be polling availability for pushing that to the following Thursday, potentially September 15th, to do both CBCC and E&E. So more to come on that. We've got our executive committee at the end of the month, just before our General Assembly meeting, and those are both on June 27th, virtually. And with that, we will call Energy and Environmental Resources Committee adjourned at 1:01 p.m. All right. I'll see you sometime.
Hi, everyone.